John as we finish here. We've talked already about the introduction to John and this being this church here and the people. And we see John's sentiments, and we go to then in verses, the first three verses, and then the instruction in verses 4 through 11 concerning his satisfaction, how he rejoiced in the truth and received the truth, and concerning his supplication about life and about the love, realizing what the theme of this book was is, remember, it's love and truth, truth and love. In other words, your belief bestows your faith. What truth is, you'll act on. What you believe is true, you'll act on. Truth and love, the whole theme of this. In fact, the book is a warning, is the warning of those that are not abiding by the truth. And so we saw then the concern about being sacrilegious and how there were deceivers and antichrists and the demand to not have anything to do with them as you detect them and separate from them. And we now come to the verses 12 and 13 where we see the interests of John. And let me just give the outline and then we'll go from there to show you what I believe we can not add to this passage of Scripture, but see the truth of what's in this passage of Scripture for practical applications that we might answer that question, or really the statement, when joy becomes your strength. When joy becomes your strength. So as we read it, it says, having many things to write unto you, I would write with paper and ink. I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Other churches greet thee. That's what he's talking about there. And so what I have this really, these two verses outlined this way. The interest of John concerning his plans in verse 12, his purpose at the end of verse 12, and his passion in verse 13. But you see his plans there in verse 12. You'll see it broken up really in two in the first part, like 12a. His heart and his hope. Look, notice what he says. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink. What do you think that is saying about John himself? I believe it's showing his heart. I believe what it's really showing is his pastor's heart. He says, there's a lot of things that I could write to you, but I want to come face to face. In fact, when it says, I write to you, and he goes and he says, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face. There is that personal. It really has, literally it means mouth to mouth, in person, a personal presence. And so John's pastoral heart is shining here. And he desires for this congregation to have as their last thoughts from this letter, his affection and his love to them. So the conclusion of this marvelous, as one man put it, this marvelous epistle, reveals one last responsibilities in this book believers have toward the truth. What is he referring to? That they are to live in it, to love consistently in with it, be loyal to the truth, and guard the truth as you constantly learn the truth. And so he says, there's still many things about the truth that I want to teach you. And I don't want to do it with parchment paper. I don't want to do it in a letter, which is fine in inspired Scripture. But what he's showing is his personal. I want to come to you and talk to you one-on-one. Church, whole. I want to talk to you. I remember my father said many years ago, don't write letters to people. When you're things and you're mad, different things like that, don't write letters. Letters are always there. You go talk to them. I mean, when you go talk to them, you always say, I didn't say that, you know. But it says, the whole idea is something personal that he's talking to them about. And so he says, having these things I write in you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink. He wanted to teach them. And he says, I hope to come to you and speak face to face. In other words, far better is a personal visit and a personal word. You know, we can receive letters, but you cannot see the personality, the spirit in a letter. In fact, when you receive a letter, you're putting in how you want to receive it. You're putting in the spirit of that person and how you know them. It's very, you know how many letters that I've sometimes had to write or emails or different things where I have come back and taken a lot of words out of it as God's given you wisdom? And we've got to realize that John loved these people. And he had such a desire to teach them the truth so that they might love the way God wants them to love. They might act according to that truth that he's taught them. You see, in his pastor's heart, you see the intimacy of the desired meeting that he had. In other words, all ministers of a church should care for their people with a heartfelt love and commitment. And I put right next to my notes, for me, I must. What must I do? Have a love and a commitment and a heartfelt love and commitment to the truth that you'll be constantly learning it. That I'll be committed to the Word of God as God speaks to me, that I might be so committed and heartfelt that you'll grab, not just that you'll act on the truth. It will mean something. And we see the pastors, that this pastor's heart is longing for the joy of the people, to share that joy and know that such joy will be found in conforming with the truth. Because notice the purpose then. Not only his plans, his heart, having many things. I can't write in paper ink. I want to come to you face to face. And so I hope to come to you personally and talk with you, that you might see my heart in this. There's some hard things I might have to tell you, as we see, as he said in verses 10 and 11, about you don't bid certain people Godspeed. And now I want to come and show you my heart behind it all. I want you to understand this is what God's heart is for you in the truth. And so then he goes to his purpose, and we see the purpose stated, and then we see it strengthened. The purpose stated, that our joy may be full. Notice he says our joy. Sounds like he belongs in some place, doesn't it? And also it sounds like he belongs with someone. Who is it? Other believers, as he disciples them. And he says, our joy. How can you have this joy? What is he saying? That our joy may be full. What? That you are obeying God. That you are taking the truth and love and saying no to the false teachers. And you're speaking the truth in love. For the greater the knowledge of the truth, the greater the believer's joy. Do you realize that? The more you know of the truth, the more joy you might have. Jeremiah put it this way in Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. You know what made John joyful? Hearing that those people in the church were loving the Word of God and reading it and obeying it and finding the truth and standing for it. And it became their joy too. It became their lasting joy. John's visit would then result in the fullness of joy, that it may be what? Complete. I just gave you an illustration of a lot of joy that was going in, happenings and happinesses that were happening in one room over a stupid football game. But all it has is something else has to happen, and that joy is gone. As far as the game is concerned. Unless you're a believer. Because this joy, we're not talking at all about the joy in a game. But we're talking about a joy that's complete, that will be forever. That's the joy that he gives believers. You see, what he's saying, he hopes to ensure that they continue walk in the truth, and that will make the great joy that he already has complete. Do you want to make a pastor happy or joyful? Then stay in God's word. Don't bicker with people. Love one another, as he says, as we've been going over. Put a smile on that frowning face. Well, that's just not me. That's the problem. It is you, your depraved self. When you have the joy of the Lord, and we're going to look at that this morning, there are things that we need to, condition that we need to do. You know, I was running last week, not this week, the week before, a couple weeks before, and I was coming up, it was Norwich Avenue. And I'm running up Norwich Avenue as after some kids coming from the Bacon Academy. And I crossed six teenagers at that time. And I always, when people come, I always say hi to them. And even if I think they're looking like they're, I say hi to them, and if I'm ever stopped, I usually try to come. Well, I came across six teenagers. The first one passed. I said, hi, as I was jogging by. Wouldn't even look at me, had this angry face on her. I thought to myself, they need Christ. They're angry. They're unhappy. Two more came by. Hi, never would even look at me, never even said hi. Either they're grumping or they're really obedient to their parents that don't say hi to strangers. Okay, one of the two. I had three more come. They were jogging or whatever, they were running. And I said hi, and one of them said hi to me, and the other two were just. Four out of six, I think it was. There's no joy today. There's no reason that you that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior should not share with John and say that our joy may be full. Because he tells us where it can come. It tells us exactly where that joy can come from. The purpose of this fellowship is so that our joy may be fully complete. And complete joy is a result of fellowship. You see, obeying God's word brings that joy. Let me just share with you what I was talking about a little bit earlier. When we just came back, I enjoy and look forward to being in the pulpit today. I look forward to seeing you. And when that happens, and I look forward to the teaching of God's word, and don't do it grievingly, that means somebody's obeying Scripture. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says. In other words, the principle is obeying those that have the rule over you, you'll cause the one ruling to be joyful in leading. Listen to what it says. Obey your leaders and submit to them, or your spiritual leaders is the context. But obey your leaders. The principle, though, is the authority that's over you. For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. You know what that's saying right there? Does that put any responsibility on me as a pastor? Does it put any responsibility on you as a leader, whether you're children, leader of children, a leader in a classroom, Sunday school, or even in work? God's purpose, God's doing all this. and you are held accountable. I am held accountable for your souls in this instant and context. Now listen, it goes on. And it says, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. I will give an account if I'm teaching you truth. And I'm doing it either in the flesh or in the spirit. I'll give account for all that. Daily I'll be given account for it. That's my responsibility that God in his call in my life has put in me. Let me give you your responsibility now. Scripture goes on and says, so that, in order that, they will do this with joy. In other words, you submit to them, the leaders that God's brought you for yourself, because they're being held accountable, and how they can do it with joy is when you submit to the authority that's over you, they will joy in their ministry. It goes on. It says, they will do it with joy and not with groaning, for this would be unprofitable for you. That's a responsibility now, isn't it? Those that have the rule over you, and you submit to that as they watch for your souls, it's unprofitable for you if you don't do that. And have that joy, that the leadership might have that joy because of your response to right, not to wrong. Could I be a pastor up here giving you wrong? Yes, I could. And you're not to follow that unscripturally. And so we see that that was really important in his life, that the people there says, now that your joy may be full. Our joy is full in the truth. And how can we strengthen that? Well, we know that in Nehemiah 8:10, what does it say? It's a verse that we all know very well, I'm sure. If you don't, you'll know it this morning. And it simply says at the end of the verse, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let me ask you something. Is that a promise from God's word? That is a direct promise from God himself. He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So how can this joy strengthen me? Does God give us any other examples or truths in God's word? Since this is a stated fact from God's word, that your strength comes from the joy of the Lord. It says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. So everything, this joy, this strength comes from the joy of the Lord. Thus, strength is promised when we have the joy of the Lord. You don't have the joy of the Lord, I'm going to tell you, you're not strong this morning. We know from 1 Corinthians 1:20 that says, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Amen. So what does that mean? Amen again means what? It is what? Certain. It's certain. It's a promise. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So how can this joy strengthen me? We also realize that we might be strong. With many promises comes a condition. So we see throughout Scripture conditions that we need to meet to have the joy of the Lord in our lives. We're going to look at some of these truths this morning so that we might make them part of our everyday living, resulting in strength for everyday living. Do you need strength to live the rest of this day? I hope that you're convicted about that. Yes, I do. Do you realize that everything you do is by the grace of God? This week we ran in a turkey trot. And there were 2,500 in it. And I had a goal that I wanted to make. And I'm not a great runner anyway, so first of all, I know we'll get that off really quick. I'm not very good, I'm not very fast, and I do it for exercise. And it's good for me, and I hate to do it, so I do it for discipline. Well, my goal was to take a minute off every, it was a 5K, so it's 3.1 miles. My goal was to take a minute off of it. And so I really tried to push myself as far as me. And so as I was going through this, I'm going to tell you, I was praying an awful lot. I didn't bring and listen to a message on this one, because I don't think I would have been concentrating. Because as I was running, Brenda ran in it too. She worked up, and listen, she did. But she took women her age. She took third. Huh? There was only three women her age, but she took third. No. I can't remember how many there were, but there was hundreds and hundreds, I'm sure there were. 94. See, she knows exactly how many. 94, huh? And her sister took first. As we were running, we were jogging, and you know, many of you know I have an Achilles problem, and we were running, and she tried to come up and pass me. And I just kept running, and we was downhill, so it was easy for me to run a little downhill. You know a man's ego is not going to let your wife beat you, no matter how slow you are. If you have to turn and smack her and shove her or something, I mean, it's not going to happen. And then later on, she told me, she says, well, when I tried to come around you, I knew that you were never going to let me, so I just said, fooey. And I was just not concentrating on anything but trying, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm really... this is starting to burn. The Achilles was starting to burn. Things were, and I would just keep going. And I said, I always tell our kids, loves don't quit. And so I kept going and going and pushing it for me. And you know, I ended up taking 2 minutes every mile off. Now that was, for me, this pushing, I ended up, let's see, out of my age group, I was 14th out of 194. I was 14th, and to show you how really fast I am, out of 1,100 men or 1,200 men, I was 399th. So I was really a speed demon. By the way, for those of you that run, the guy that ran it won it. The guy did it in 5 minutes or less than 5 minute miles. Guy's insane. I always kid, when I go run something like that, when I say with my kids, we'll run, I go run things like that, I always say, well, you'll be showered and dressed by the time I get done. But what was that? What we see is, as you go, and I will tell you, that was God's strength. That was nothing Mark Love did, because I know how good Mark Love is. Not very good. And so as we realize that you and I need strength for everything we do, it's God's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. Let me give you some truths, and I won't tell you how many, because then you'll get, oh, we're only at this number or this number. I just went through Scripture talking about the joy of the Lord, and you'll see the conditions that we need to have that joy so that we might be strong. The first one is to be faithful. You want to be strong this morning? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You want to be strong and have that joy so you'll be strong? Then you be faithful. Matthew 25:21. And so he that hath received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 more talents. His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord, my master. In fact, he says in Hebrews 12:2, it says, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, his faithfulness. Not only will believers be rewarded in heaven, but they'll share that divine joy with the master. You want to be strong this morning? You want that joy that will give you strength? Then you be faithful. Isn't it fun to be faithful, even sometimes when it hurts? When it's completed, there's a great joy. I'll give a testimony for my wife. My wife has always had a hard time of her breathing and stuff, so she's never been able to run much. She's always walked a fast walk and different things, and she's having. And so she was going on this turkey trot. She's been working out for how long to try to run to make sure she could even make it 3 miles. She could maybe do a mile or something, but she didn't. So it's been a long time. Guess what she had to do to make it? She had to be faithful in her what? Exercise. And it's all done with, and guess who's joyful? Guess who is strong to be able to go through it? Folks, you be faithful in serving God. You be faithful in what God's called you. You be faithful in God's responsibilities given you at your workplace, in your entertainment, in your family time. You be faithful. You'll be strong. You'll have the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Love one another. John 15, 11, 12 said, these things I've spoken to you, that your joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another. It's so much fun loving someone else. And isn't it more fun than not liking them? I don't like you. I'm going to go whine about you. I don't care about you. Boy, it really just really gets you all excited about life, doesn't it? No, but there is a joy when you what? Love one another. When you care for one another. When you help somebody else and you manifest that verb action love. There's a joy. Did you know you're strong when you do that? Bible, this is a promise from God. The joy of the Lord, your strength. Love one another then. Be faithful. And in Psalm 5, verse 11, it gives us two. Listen to what Psalm 5, 11 says. But let all those that put their trust in thee, you know what the next word is? Rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, for thou defendest them. Or the idea that thou defendest them is covers, or spreads a protection over, shelters them. He shelters them. So what are we saying? Bible's saying, you trust in the Lord. You want that strength? Then you put your complete trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all thy ways, you acknowledge him, and you'll end up where God wants you to be, for the joy of the Lord's your strength. So trust God to do what you cannot do. We walk by faith and not by sight. Trust God to do what you can. You want to be strong this afternoon? Then trust God over someone else's power or the world's power or the world's pleasures. The last part of that verse says, but let all those that put their trust in thee, let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. The last part of the verse says, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. It sort of goes along with loving one another, isn't it? If you love God's name, you'll have strength. Let all those that love thy name be joyful in thee. Do you remember what we're trying to teach and get across when you see the word name, when it says God's name? What is it talking about when it says in God's name or in the name of the Lord? It's referring to his what? His person. So there's more to it than just a name. Remember, even through Scripture, names meant a lot, characteristics. But here, when we see the name of the Lord, it's talking about his person. So what it simply says, that if you love the very person of God himself, who has given you that love, so you're being obedient, you'll be strong. But you got to love God. You got to love his name and everything about him. Not only be faithful in that love, be faithful in that trust and loving one another and loving the Lord. And then in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, it says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And then, does anyone know what those next words are? You might have remembered. Learn of me? Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. What is this talking about? This is the joy of rest. If there's no joy of learning, could there be an idol of self-centeredness in your life? Are you looking forward to learn about God? That will determine by how much you're looking into the Word then, won't it? You want to be strong this morning, then you learn of God. The joy of rest. I will give you rest. I don't know about you, but isn't it really nice when you are able to really rest? Example, Nord was bringing us back. They kept our car up there, I told you. And Nord said, was able to take Friday off, too, besides Thursday. He says, it was just nice to rather than get my mind all in. He says, that's a joy, isn't it, Nord? What a joy. I mean, this morning I went to my wife. I said, hon, I slept for 5-6 straight hours. I just haven't done that in I don't know how long. I didn't have to get up. And it was I didn't wake up till 5:30. Went to bed at 11:15, 11:30, and didn't wake up. And it always takes me a while to get to sleep. So I figured at least 5, maybe 6 hours. Do you know what that gave me this morning? Boy, that was a joy. Why? Because we joy in rest, don't we? So how can we joy in rest? Well, learn of God. You should want to be where they're teaching God's word. You want strength? The joy of the Lord. And if you do not have that joy in trying to learn of God, again, could there be an idol of self-centeredness? Last night, coming back on the plane, I had downloaded a movie to watch or something like this for the 2 hours or anything. And I just, instead of starting that movie, I went and had a choice between doing the movie or listening to a message. I'm telling you what I wanted to do. I wanted to watch the movie. So the Lord and I had some conversations going on. And I'm telling you, what I ended up listening was the message. And even when that message got over and I started watching another one, I'm going, this is not interesting to me. I just fast forward, went out and done. Folks, we've got to want to learn of God. What is God teaching you? What are you learning about Jesus? Maybe it's the same things that you might already know some things, but are you learning more about that thing? Or maybe trying to find ways you can maybe apply that thing. Or just to find out just that that's the way God is, and it's amazing. You see, when we are awed at God, guess who we won't be awed at? Me. But if I'm not awed at God, guess who I'm going to awe at? Me. You want to be strong? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And have a happy countenance. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. A merry heart doth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. In other words, inner joy shows in a person's face, but inner grief depresses the person's morale. Example. I'm glad I'm not on that side as far as entertainment for this morning. But I can guarantee you, there was a lot of grief on the other side of that game yesterday. You see, a merry heart does good like men. Inner joy is in a person's face, but the inner grief, guess what? You saw a lot of faces that were, and on the other side, you saw a lot of, what's there to smile about? I got news for you. You as a believer, even when circumstances are tough, your heart has something to smile about. What would be one of the biggest things your heart can smile about? He's in control of that circumstance. That's a big smile. Guess what? The joy of the Lord, your strength. He's in control. So our countenance, a merry heart, does good like medicine. That's why I always say, there's times we get discouraged. And I'm not talking about people have to walk around with this clown face. Hi, everyone. Hey. You know, when my father passed away, there was a joy in my heart that he was in glory. But I did not, and when my mom passed away, I did not run around the hospital and run around jumping up John was saying, hey, my dad's dead. That wasn't it at all. Boy, I tears. Miss him. Today, how many years later, I still miss him. Tears will come to my eyes many times. I miss him. He was a wonderful, godly dad. And mom was a godly mom. But there's a joy because of the countenance that you can have. It does good like medicine. That's why you listen to the good music or something. You get your heart changed. Get that countenance changed. Next we have in Luke 10:20, having a relationship with God or being saved. Listen to what Scripture says. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. This is when the Lord sent out 75, or the 70. Sent out the 70 to go witness. And he came back and said, Lord, boy, the spirits obeyed us. The people raised and walked. They were doing some great things for God. And they came back and they were all joy and excited. And guess what? The Lord, he had to correct their theology a little bit. Although it wasn't wrong to rejoice over the things that God was doing, he corrected their theology. Listen what the rest of the verse says. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in where? In heaven. In other words, praise the Lord for that. But God's performance, he saved you and your name is written in the book of life and you're going to glory. That's something to rejoice about. That's something because of God's performance, I can joy. And when he is manifested in my life of obedience to him, I can be joyful over obeying him in a performance. But now it's different. Now it's I want to. Now it's just fun. It's fun to do something for someone else. But he says, listen, that is fun. But here's the real joy. I want you today to think back when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what your joy is. Can't say enough. I don't know what to say. Just W-O-W. You can joy that God saved you and you and I are undeserving of that. And he took all of that wrath on him so that we could have joy. Oh, those that don't know Jesus as their Savior, they can put a smile on their face, but they don't know what joy is all about. Because there's no joy when circumstances go south on them. You see, it's simply having a relationship with God. A personal relationship of a believer with God should just cause you to have joy because he saved you. And so I have a relationship with Jesus. I can talk with him, and he can talk with me. And I understand what he's saying. Sometimes I got to read a little more because I don't completely understand. So I got to learn of him a little more. The Bible says in Psalm 45:7 that we need to love righteousness. Listen to what it says. You want the joy of the Lord? You want strength today? Then you love righteousness. Thou loveth righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And then it says, not only love righteousness, but it says, love wickedness. No, it says, hate wickedness. So what are you? You want strength today? You love righteousness, that which God has declared righteous and who he is and the righteousness that's going on in the as you go forward in obedience to God, and you hate wickedness, you'll have joy because he says, therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. In other words, the oil of joy, more than your other companions or anybody else. He anoints you with a joy. You love righteousness, you hate wickedness, you can be strong today. But if you give way to wickedness, you're not going to have the joy of the Lord. You're not going to have the joy, the inner joy and strength that God wants to give you if you don't hate wickedness and love righteousness. Well, that's awful narrow-minded. You know, we got to love that person. And you don't have to love what they do. It's against God's very character. And pray for them. We were seeing this week, and I just turned, I said, friend, they just need Christ. You see, we need to, you want strength this morning, then hate righteousness, hate wickedness, love righteousness. That passage of scripture is talking about the king, King David, because he loved righteousness and hated wickedness, God blessed him with abundant joy in that which he did. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Again, a relationship with God. But if you follow the godly, he says, you followed me and the Lord, and having received the word in much affliction. Listen, it was tough. It wasn't just, you were being persecuted just as we are. And you followed me, you followed us. And so you want to have joy of the Lord, then again, that relationship with him, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Holy Spirit in your heart and life, as you follow others, will give you that joy and that strength also. Follow other godly people. Imitate other godly people that they might be. You'll have the joy of the Lord, but you've got to realize it's the Holy Spirit within you that gives you that joy. You see, a Christian's joy should be determined by not by his circumstances, but by his relationship with Christ and the joy of the indwelling Holy Spirit. David in Psalm 51 talks about this joy. He didn't have it for a while. Listen, what does the Bible say about him? Does the Bible say that he was a man after what? God's own heart. But for a year, he had no joy. And then God, he obeyed and responded to the conviction of God in his life through Nathan. God used a man, another man. Listen to how he responds then. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. And here it is. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Notice it doesn't say my salvation. He says the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with your free spirit. My free spirit. Thy free spirit. Restore unto me the joy. You know what it means? David was aware that in order to experience joy in his life that he had at salvation, he needed inner renewal. In other words, he needed what? Confession of sin. You might not have the joy of the Lord this morning, and it's not your strength because you have things in the way. Things that you don't think, hey, I don't do the biggies. Okay, were you sharp with anybody this week? Did you complain this week? Come on, Pastor, we always do that. Everybody, That's our point. What? You need and I need to keep constant accounts in our life. And if we confess our sin, God's faithful. There we go again, being faithful, the joy of the Lord. Confess our sins before him. You know, we think we're pretty good. I remember the Lord convicted me, and somehow I was talking to my brother-in-law, and we were talking about our college days. We went to college together, and we played on the same college baseball team. And we were mentioning something about me on this one game that he was pitching or whatever, and I was on first base, and I said to him, I was on first base. I'm sure it wasn't because of my hitting, because I was a terrible hitter. I must have walked or something, and we laughed and stuff. But then I said, I led to steal because I would lead the team in stolen bases. The Lord, after I started, the Lord pricked my heart. I said, Lord, you are so arrogant. You had to tell him. You had to say you led the team in stolen bases. It's so funny. I said, led the team, and in that case, I got thrown out. You know something? We need to confess our sins before God. Right away, say, Lord, oh, please forgive me. Help me to realize it's your grace. We need to be tender. Because I tell you what, I can't do without the strength of God. I can't. I need his strength. So I need the joy. The Lord. That's my strength. In fact, Psalm 149 says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Do you sing a lot? You want some joy? You want some strength? Start singing. Things go south? Start singing. Some of you, please sing a little lower than others. No, I'm kidding. You know what we need to do? We need to be singing. We do. Did you know that if your heart is merry and you want to be singing, did you know if you start getting something, you'll wake up in the night and you'll be singing this tune and you'll wonder why. Or there'll be something later on, something going on, and you'll all of a sudden start humming and singing this tune and you'll go, why? Because your heart is right with, and you're bringing that on your heart. And when you do sing, the Bible says here, sing aloud upon their beds. Let the saints be joyful in glory. That's one of the reasons we sing in this church. It's one of the reasons why we, excuse me, in a right way, toot our horns. Literally, okay, not ourselves, you know. But toot the horns. Why do we do this? Why do we have it? Why do we have praise? We sing unto God. That will give me strength. We don't do it because it's something to do. We didn't have a praise service and sing because it was just something to do. One of the things is it gives us strength. God's strength. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's a promise from God, and it is certain. And then Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth, beareth precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Compassion to others. Did you know you have compassion to others? It'll be strength to you. It'll be the joy of the Lord. Bring joy and will be strength. When you go around and see others that just are turning their and rejecting God and turning their backs on God and rejecting God and living their own way, does your heart break for them? Can't help to think, since this is in my mind, I think of it a lot when I'm in see stadiums and stuff, but I can't help to think, usually at Michigan, they're the biggest stadium. I don't know how many they had, I didn't hear, but they probably had 114,000 or 115,000 there at that game or more, whatever it was. And at the end, I looked upon it. I saw the video because I taped it at home and recorded it. Excuse me, don't tape anymore. I'm sorry. My age is showing. Recording it, and I saw those, the place was down on the field and everything. How many know Jesus? Well, I know three about. We know four that were, because we know as a friends that were at the game. But think of that. I was thinking of this at the airport, seeing people go around, and there's one person that came by, and I mean, I was sitting down yesterday, and something about joy or thing, and I turned to the man. I said, did you know the joy of the Lord is your strength? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he just says, yeah, joy is really, yeah, we need to be joyful. Don't understand that, do they? You do. And here it says, here's conditions how you can have that joy. Let me challenge you to get the sheet of paper back there that has all of this. But look at how he closes in John. He says, that our joy may be full, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. He includes and concludes he as a member along with them. My joy is made full. So how can this joy strengthen me? Remembering that the joy of the Lord is your strength as a believer. And there are 13 things that we just went over. See, if I would have told you at the beginning 13, you would have gone, oh man, he's only at 5. Wish he'd get going a little quicker. Folks, my heart this morning, as John warns people in this epistle, he meant to warn them, but he also wanted it to motivate them by love, truth and love. And he ends it, that our joy may be full. May I ask you this morning, is your joy full? Well, sometimes, well, that's good. We'll just make it more times then. And then when there's more times, then make it more times. There's a lot, isn't it? But as the Spirit of God is there, he'll always be there. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's a promise, and that's certain. How can I be joyful? How can this joy strengthen me? Well, be faithful. Love one another. Trust in the Lord. Love the Lord. Learn about God. Have a happy countenance. Have a relationship with God. Love righteousness. Hate wickedness. Follow the godly. Have a relationship with God. Confess your sin. Sing of God's glory. And be compassionate to one another. Our dear Heavenly Father,